Radharasudanidhi ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Saraswati ki jai. Today is verse 48 of Sri Radharas Sudhanidhi, a great classic of Madhurya Bhav, Parakya Madhurya Bhav Tattva. And we're discussing selected verses within the 272 verses which describe Manjari Bhav, and especially the sevas in the mood of a Manjari, which is revealed here by Prabhupada Saraswati. Someone asked yesterday, I thought this book, Radhara Sudhanidhi, is all about Sakhi Bhav. And so it's not useful for us, you know, we're Manjaris. And I said, no, actually, this book is very useful for everyone who's in a Manjari Upasaka, who's practicing Raghunuga Bhakti with a desire of becoming Radharani's surrendered maid servant, Palyadasi Kinkari Manjari. Because, yes, the book is about Sakhi Bhav, and we're also Sakhis, and we want the Bhav of a Sakhi, Gopi Bhavashraya. We're taking shelter of that Gopi Bhav, like the Shrutis millions of years ago. The Shrutis and personified Vedas, they became attracted to Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan. These are the greatest sages of the universe, the greatest rishis and munis and Atmaram munis, the rishis, and they're called the Shrutis. Shruti, of course, is the original Vedic writings are called Shruti. Samaveda, Yajurveda, Rigveda, Atharvaveda, the Charaveda. So they, in one kalpa, Krishna displayed his lila dancing with the gopis in the rasa dance. And these sages, the Shrutis personified as great rishis and sages, big long flowing beards and hair and jata, and great yogis of Vedic yogis, they say, oh, this is very sweet, very madhur. Very sweet, Krishna's Madhura Lila Venu Madhura Ven Yamuna Madhura Madhura Adipater Akilam Madhuram. Everything is so sweet about this Lila Purushottam Shamsundar. And although they're men, they're in men's form, men, rishis, they became attracted. We want to be gopis. We want to be gopis. We want to be Braja gopis. We have a desire to dance in the rasa dance with Krishna, like Radharani and Lita Vishaka and all the gopis. So then Krishna said, Bhavatu. This is described in Gopal Tapani Upanishad and Kramadipika and Padma Pran, many places about how the Shrutis, of course, it's mentioned in the Tikas by Vishnu Chakravarti in the Rasalila chapters, Rasa Panchadhyaya, 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Chapters 29 through 33, which are the Pancha Pran. Pancha Pran, Pran means life force, energy, strength, existence, Pran. And there's five forms of Pran. You've heard of Pranayam, breathing. So Prana, there's Apan, Udan, Pran, Upan, I forget. There's five different types. Some are going up and some are going down. Some are going this way, that. So the Bhagavatam, that these five chapters, 29, 30, 1, 2, 3, are the Pancha Prana of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, which has 12 cantos, and I remember something about 315 chapters. So out of 315 adhyaya, or chapters, describing Bhagavat, or Bhagavan in his various forms as Vishnu and Nrisinga and Vaman, and all these different Leelas, and Mohini Murti, and finally Ramchandra, and all the different avatars, Matsya, and Varaha, they're all described there. And then we get to the Pancha Pran, which is the life of Bhagavan's Pancha Pran. Anyone's existence is based on their Pran. If the Pran is gone, you're gone. Absolutely, totally gone, finished. Hogya, Katam, Hari Haribo. So this is the So the Krishna Bhagavat, this is the Bhagavat Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam. So the pran, the life of the entire Bhagavat, the life of Bhagavan, the life of the entire Bhagavat of these five chapters. Because in these five chapters, Shukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva proclaim, like a loud beating of a drum, the exalted position of the gopis' love, the gopis' bhav. So this type of gopi bhav, this type of madhurya prem, parakhiya bhav of gopis, the extramarital lovers of Krishna and his Braj Leela, this mystified the mystics. This enchanted the rishis, the shrutis. So they aspired to become gopis, and so they were blessed. So for thousands and millions of years, they followed the path of Raghunuga Bhakti. And while following the path of Raghunuga Bhakti in the Gopi Anugata, they followed in the footsteps of the gopis of Braj, Braj Loka Anusarata, which is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in describing Raghunuga Bhakti. Brajaloka Anusarata. Anukaran? Anusaran. Anukaran means imitating. Oh, my guru walks like this, so I walk like that. No, that's aparad, to imitate the guru's movements or postures or whatever. But to follow him when he walks to the on Parikrama, then you follow him on Parikrama and serve him and hear the Harikata or just be in his presence and try to appreciate and feel what he feels when he sees Giriraj, and what kind of hankering and what kind of deep attachment he has for Giri Govardhan, and that's emanating from his eyes and from his heart and form. So the surrendered Shishya, the Sad Shishya, will try to become one with his Guru and his Bhav, his Seva, his mood, his Sadhya, his goal. Doesn't want to become one. Oh, Guru eats Karela, so I'll eat Karela every day. Maybe it doesn't agree with you. It agrees with him because of different prakruti or conditioning. It doesn't grow in Russia, but it grows in India, so your Indian-born Guru may have a liking for that. So we don't imitate. Prabhupada had big black glasses when he first came to New York and gave his classes in New York. You can see in the early movies, big black plastic, you know, like this. So all the devotees, although they may have thought about it, but it didn't run out to the nearest optician, eye doctor, and buy big black glasses with clear glass, not prescription, because they're young men and ladies. Come in and all the other. Imagine if Prabhupada went to class and 30 people in front of him with big black glasses. It would be crazy. It would be the most crazy, humorous, funny thing. He'd say, "What is this?" And Prabhupada would say, with all his philosophical astuteness and humor also, his eyes would become very big and you'd see the white of his eyes and he'd look and say, What is going on here?" This is Anukaran. But you should do Anusharan. You should use, like me, I use my eyes and these glasses to read the Bhagavatam and to study the Bhagavatam. So you should follow me and use your eyes, glasses or not, and study the Srimad Bhagavatam and get up at 1 o'clock. You can't do it. But at any rate, whenever you do get up, then study the Bhagavatam and speak on it whenever you can. So this is the Rishis, they followed, so they were developing over so many thousands of years. They were performing tapasya, but really to become purify their hearts so they could receive the ray of bhav would descend from the ragatmikas and from the nityasiddha parikars. That gopi bhav, that madhurya prem, would descend from their hearts and into the hearts of the purified sages, the shrutis, and then they would develop gopi bhav. So they heard about gopi bhav, they read about gopi bhav, which means sakhi bhav. Gopi is a sakhi, manjri is a sakhi. And that way they developed the sensitivities, the feelings, the outlook, the understanding Radharani's moods and the Sakhi's moods, so then it becomes very easy to serve them or to be. They actually became Sakhi's. They became Nayakas of Krishna, heroines, and danced in the Rasa dance. So the answer to the question whether reading this book, which many of the verses are showing Sakhi Bhava, not specifically the mood of an Anuchari or Kinkari or maidservant, it's very helpful because every verse is full of Gopi Bhav, Sakhi Bhav, and full of Leela, and full of Radha and Krishna pastimes in relation to their Sakhis in Vrindavan throughout the Astakali Leelas. And it's all very, very favorable. I was rather surprised when the person said, oh, this book is not for Manjari Bhav. But it's very much, specifically where it mentions Manjaris, and even the author who is a Sakhi, Ashtasakhi, one of the Paramaprajna Sakhis, Changavidya Prabodhananda Saraswati, he's so much attracted and enamored and captivated by the Taratmika Bhava, Radharani's Manjaris for her, that he entered into their mood and maybe even has a form of a Manjari. At least he entered into their mood and wrote about it, what they feel and what they hanker for and what they specifically see and what type of sevas they render. And those are the verses we're zeroing in on and focusing and concentrating on. But anyone who's following Rag Marg, aspiring to be Radharani's maidservant and Raghunuga Bhakti, and they come under the shelter or guidance of a Shiksha Guru or their Diksha Guru, he will give this book and say, learn it, study it. It's very, very helpful. It's primary. Of course, the writings of our Acharyas, our Sadhguru Swamis, Prabhupada Saraswati is also our Acharya, but Savavali by Raghunath Das Goswami is most favorable for deeply understanding the Prayojana Tattva and serving therein at one's mentally conceived Antas Chinta Deha, one's mentally conceived and desired spiritual body as a Manjari, which means a Nitya Sakhi. So where there's five types of Sakhis, and the Manjaris are basically called Nitya Sakhis. There is Sakhi and Pran Sakhi, Paramaprajna Sakhi, and then Nitya Sakhis, and I think Priya Sakhis. But they're all Sakhis, they all have Sakhi Bhav. Everyone loves Radharani completely, everyone loves Krishna completely, all the five types of Sakhis. Some are a little bit more inclined, and their ulas and their feelings of seva and love are more a little more for Radharani, and some a little more for Krishna. But all the Sakhis are completely surrendered to and dedicated and absorbed in serving Radha Krishna Yugal. From Lalita serving Radha and Krishna Yugal. Lalita brings all the time, makes arrangements. Lalita and Vishakha, they make all kinds of arrangements to bring Krishna to Radha, to bring the Manjaris to Radha, to help her serve Radha. And they themselves are dressing Radharani in the morning and decorating her. So although they also are Yuteshwaris, group leaders of Sakhis, and they have their own Manjaris, each of them, Lalita Vishakha, and they're their own assistant Upasakhis with them and their Juta or group. But nevertheless, Radharani is Vrindavaneshwari, and they're all maidservants of that great queen Radharani. They're Nayakas, and they also have their independent relationship. They have Shringar Vilas with Krishna, union with Krishna, the Kunjas. Lalita has her Kunja as Radhakund. Ananga Manjari has her Kunja at Radhakund. And Vishakha has her Kunja. And there they entertain Krishna. And they also they bring Radha and Krishna there, and they both enjoy there. And sometimes Vishakha and the Sakhis. But everyone in Braj, as I mentioned earlier classes, they're basically directly and indirectly, or let's say directly, knowingly or unknowingly, engaged in the service of bringing Radha and Krishna together. So this is the beauty of Vrindavan. So it's a very useful book and a very wonderful book. It's unlimited ocean. It says Nidhi. Radha Ra Sudha Nidhi. Nidhi means ocean. It means treasure, gem, jewel. So it's a great treasure. It's the greatest treasure in the storehouse of Rasa Tattva, Madhurya Ras. Radha Ras Sudha Nidhi. Sudha means nectar, amrit, ambrosia. And it certainly is ambrosial for the ears, for the heart, for the mind, for the soul. And it's ambrosia for us to hear and remember and speak about. It's ambrosia for the Lord to hear someone speaking about it. It's ambrosia and nectar and very pleasing for Radha and Krishna also. So this is the 48th verse, and this is a new verse. And this is about drowning. Drowning means you go in the ocean and or in a swimming pool or whatever, and you somehow lose control of yourself and you can't keep floating. And you go under the water and it's called drowning. You die. You bloop. You bloop. Like if you take a rock and throw it into some water, like a lake or this little pool, when that rock hits the lake, you know what sound it makes? Bloop. It goes bloop. It even makes that sound. You can try it. You can throw a rock and it goes bloop, bloop. So this became a very special word in our spiritual institution of ISKCON. Although it's not understood outside, we have our own, inside language. Parokshavad, ISKCON Parokshavad. Indirect language, like all the young people have this special language on the mobile language, which anybody over 40 or 50 doesn't know what's going on, what it means even, or what it, but young people know. So the same way, if someone comes, they'll say, "Oh, he blooped." Somebody will say, "What does that mean? He blooped." He fell in the water. Well, that's a fact. He goes underwater. He goes in the Maya Ocean somewhere, or whatever. Anyway, so this is ocean, and it's nectar. It's an ocean of nectar, and the title of this verse is drowning. So we're going to fall into that ocean. We're going to lose control. Like if you go into the ocean, you fall over from a boat, or you go down the steps of Radhakund. It happens about once a month. One or two people die in Radhakund. You may not know, but they at least, and that's known. Maybe somebody comes at night and just slips off and no one even knows. And turtles eat them up. So then, it's a fact. So they walk down and they don't see the green moss on the last step. It's nighttime. They're tired. They've been walking so long for 15 kilometers, almost back to Manasi Ganga to finish. They slip and then, I don't know how to swim. And the water's 25 feet deep and they get just excited and they lose control and they drown. They die. They're finished. So this title, this verse is drowning. Sounds rather negative. But material drowning is negative, but spiritual drowning is very positive. We want, ever hear this term, we should drown in the nectar of Nam Ras. Drown in the nectar of Harinam Sankirtan. So everyone, we have that experience. Every member of ISKCON is drowning all the time, but they're still alive. Whenever there is great Harinam Sankirtan performed, everyone enters there deeply with mind and heart. They go so deep, they lose control. They start feeling crazy and dancing crazy, and they drown in the nectar of the kirtan and the Harinam Sankirtan. But they come up when the kirtan's over. They surface from being submerged in the joy of dancing in abandon and totally forgetting everything about your gender and your age and your position and prestige and worries and problems and miseries. You forget all about it when you merge and submerge in kirtan magana, sankirtan, anand magana. You submerge in the ecstasy, anandam buddhivardhanam. Lord Chaitanya is telling in the Shikshastakam, very first verse, that this Harina, we say all glories to, he's basically saying, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Lord Chaitanya is saying all glories to drowning in Harinam Sankirtan. Because before that he says, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. He says, Ananda Ambuddhi Vardhanam. He says, it's an ocean. Harinam Sankirtan is an Ambuddhi. Creep Ambuddhi, all creep Ambuddhi. Vaishnava is a creep Ambuddhi. He's an ocean of mercy, compassion. So Harinam is an ocean of bliss. And when you're in bliss, you're beside yourself. You're just like, I don't know where I am, I'm in bliss. So that means you've lost control and lost your contact with your ordinary self. Your ordinary self is controlled by hankering and lamenting. So many, lamenting about this and that, and hankering for so many things we want or think we want and need. So we all have some experience of drowning. So here we're going to drown. In this verse, we're going to drown in a lake of ras. The what ras? The Radha ras. And what kind of ras is it? It's nectar. Amrit ras. Rasamrit. Bhakti rasamrit sindhu. Ocean. So that's the title of this verse. Drowning in a lake of ras. So let's hear. Let's drown. Verse 48. Kunjantare kimapi jata rasotsavaya shutva tadalapita sinjita mishritani Sri Radhike tavavraha paricharikaham dwarastita rasaradhe Patita Kadasyam. Translation. Translation. Having heard the mixed sounds of soft speech and tinkling ornaments coming from within the bower house, arising from the robust Rasa festival, O Sri Radhike, Kada. Becoming your confidential maidservant, I will stand just outside your door, the door to your kunja, and I will thus plunge headlong. Plunge means to dive, like plunge. You plunge into the water, boom, to dive in. I will dive headlong. This is your head, so head first. I will just like go, boom. I will plunge headlong into that. And sink deeply into the lake of ecstatic ras. He's saying, when will that happen? Here I'm meditating on a seva in my siddha rupa, that I'm standing there doing some, I'm guarding the door of your kunja, and you're enjoying your association inside the bower house, the forest bower of Shamsundar. Another translation is, Rani's dancing. O Sri Radhike, when will I, your confidential maidservant, fall in a pool of ras as I stand at the gate of the kunja, hearing the sweetly tinkling sound of your ornaments mixed with the sweet sound of your conversation with Krishna at the beginning of your Rasa festival, or Alapita. That's Alapita. This word Alapita is there in the verse. It means talking. Shutva tadalapita, Alapita. Sanjita Mishritani. Mishritani means mixed. Sanjita means the sound of your tinkling ornaments. So the your speech is mixed. So this is, of course, these are the Prem Samputa. These are the, there's a term for this, love talks in the Kunja. Surata. There's one poem written by Vishnu Chakravartipad. It's called Surata, Surata Katamritam. Surata Katamritam. Surata. Surata means erotic union or erotic dalliance or pastimes with the lover and beloved. And Katamritam means those nectar sweet love talks when the lovers first meet. So Radha and Krishna, of course, are the original divine, transcendental, spiritual lover and beloved, Priyaji and Priyatam, from which all other types of relationships and feelings and Loving relationships all begin there, and they should all end there and attain there. Well, this is the transcendental side of love. So there's some points in this verse, and the three basic points that we see here in this verse is what's being illuminated here and revealed here is what great fortune and privilege that Radharani's mandris have. The privileged position of Radharani's maid servants. Like someone may think, when Prabhupada was here, some devotees got to be his servants and travel with him. When Prabhupada had 5,000 disciples and only a couple of them throughout those 10 years he was with us, some traveled for 2 years or 1.5 years. But what about the other 4,999? They didn't get a chance. They weren't the lucky ones. They weren't the fortunate ones. So that's a very privileged, that privilege, that fortune to be Prabhupada's personal servant and assistant and travel with the pure devotee around the world for his pracharak seva. So the mandris themselves are in a most wonderful position. So that point we'll discuss about the privileged position of Srimati Radharani's maidservants. And the verse also discusses about the very interesting point, how the mandris, or all the sakis for that matter, but the mandris serve Radharani and Krishna with all their senses, with their eyes, their hands, their gyanindriya and karmindriya. Of course, there's no karm there. There's no karm and gyan. Anyavi lashita shunyam gyana karmadya navritam anokayena krishnanam shilanam bhaktiruttama. So in that plane, there's no gyan, there's only prema, and there's no karma, there's only lila. There's no gyan, there's no knowledge, there's prema. And there's no karma, which means work, hard work to remove ignorance and illusion. And there's just lila, enjoying. Someone the other day, in one class we heard, he said, what is the meaning of lila? Lila means, Krishna is called lila. So we play or we engage in sports, but there's a purpose. Like we play sports because it's to express our mood of competition. We say, let's go play tennis. So you ask your friend, your girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever, let's go play tennis together. So you're playing, but part of that play is the ego and ambition to defeat my friend. Because all sport, you know, okay, let's, and even they sometimes, that's established in the beginning. Okay, let's see. We'll play for a half an hour, and we'll see who can score the most baskets in basketball. And whoever scores the most has to buy the other one some mahaprasad or whatever. Of course, devotees aren't supposed to play basketball, but they do. At any rate, so they challenge. So there's some purpose. There's some purpose to win a prize or to defeat your friend and bolster your own ego or self-gratification, etc. But lila, Krishna's lila, he's... Everything they're doing, holy lila, rasa lila, there's no purpose. It's only for the fun. It's just for the fun of it. Like if you ask somebody, why are you playing tennis? Well, it's good exercise. You know, there's so many, you're doing, it's a purpose. Oh, I need to exercise, so I'm playing tennis every night, every day after school with my friend. And I'm practicing my skills. I want to, you know, win a championship. And I like the taste of winning. That kind of ego boost, the ego rush that one gets by defeating someone, conquering, defeating. This is all part of Rajagun and Tamagun. So there's some purpose, because this is a causal plane. We're living in this side of the Karna Samudra, so everything here has a cause and effect. Whatever we do has a cause, and it has some effect or result. Cause and result. But Krishna lives beyond the Karna Samudra. He lives in Paravyom, in the topmost part of Paravyom in Vaikuntha. And everything he's doing, he said, Krishna, why are you walking through the forest playing your flute? Just, you know, for the fun of it. And I'm just playing. So it's just, that's such a beautiful, and this is like, if you see children, Even they get into competition too. It starts at the earliest age because children have egos also. And they have samskaras for competition and defeat and the whole idea of egoism. And pratishtha is there even in the smallest children. They say, okay, let's have a game. Oh, I beat. No, you won. No, I won. And they fight. They throw all the soldiers all over the place. And no, I won. And they beat each other up and the mother comes. So there's so much competition. But and Krishna's playing. That's the definition of lila. There was some discussion about what does it mean, this word lila. It has other meanings also, which we discussed in previous classes, but we can mention also. But this is very nice. Lila means there's no purpose, and you're not trying to get a result. You're not trying to create, to win. It's just fun. So what are you doing? We're dancing in the ruts. Why? For fun. We're just dancing. It's fun. You like? Yeah, we like to have fun. We're having fun. There's no other purpose. It's just for fun, pure fun. So how many people, have you ever done anything in your life or can you even remember when you've done something just for the fun of it? Everything we do is calculated. Profit, loss. Oh, if I just put on these crazy clothes and walk down the street and all these old, I feel like wearing all dirty old clothes. And if you wear dirty old clothes, and you're some lady, then everyone says, oh, you stinky, you look dirty, what happened to you, and this, that. You'll get so much criticism. So you're afraid of that, so you won't do that rather odd, practice, rather tamagun practice of wearing some dirty clothes. But that's a very bad example, but the idea is it's just for the fun of it. So this is the mandris are serving with all their senses, not just their hands and their eyes and they're what we would call the working senses and the knowledge-acquiring senses. They're serving with their ears. They're just listening to Radha and Krishna speak. That's seva, isn't it? What's the first limb of bhakti? What's it called? Shravanam. Have you ever studied? That's nice. You can study. You're tired. So the first limb of bhakti is shravanam, to hear. So we're also hearing. And they're also hearing. We're hearing the Bhagavad Gita. And the mandris standing outside the Kunja Dwara, the door of the Kunja, they're hearing Radha and Krishna's Surata Katamritam. Like you might say eavesdropping. But that's their privilege. They're mandris. Sakis can't stand there and listen. What's Radharani whispering and to Krishna right now? And what's Krishna whispering to Radharani? Oh, whatcha? So sweet. So confidential. They can't hear that. They don't have that privilege to stand, be that close at that time. They go here and there, whatever they do. Or they go to their own kunjas and wait for Radharani to send Krishna. So one point is the privileged position and then how they serve with all their senses. So let's begin with this first point of the verse is the privileged position. So the verse has this word. It says, "Kunjantare kimapi jata rasotsavaya, shutva tad alapita, sinjita mishritani, shiradike tavavraha, parichari kaham." So this is the phrase that indicates the very, very special, privileged, most fortunate position of Radharani's maidservants, her handmaidens, kinkaris, her mandris, says, paricharika, aham. Aham means I. I, Tungavidya, in her mood of a mandri, or mandri bhav, or I means you, or I, or anyone aspiring for being Radharani's paricharika. Parichari means to move in varieties of ways. Anuchari means to move behind. So when Radharani is moving in a straight line or a crooked line, whatever, when she's running down the footpath for Samsara Abhisaranti, when she's going completely absorbed in the mood of an Abhisarika heroine, she's running down the footpath to meet Krishna. Basically somewhat in a straight line, but there's curves here and there. It's not a freeway, it's a forest. Forest gully, Prem gully, Man gully, goes left, right here. And the mantri is running behind her, so she's moving, but Anuchari, behind her. in one direction, in one way, carrying her tray of scents and garlands and tambul and with fresh camphor and cloves. So now it says parichari, paricharika. This mandri is an all-arounder. She's a 360-degree servant. She can serve in all directions, and she's ever watchful and ever waiting and eager and anticipating at every second when Radharani will glance from the corner of her right eye or glance from the corner of her left eye or move her head in such way or move her finger or her toe or any which way give a sanket or a signal that she wants a particular service, then the mandris will understand that signal and indication, and they will do the needful service at the proper moment in such a wonderful way. So this is the... See here, Sripad is saying, Shri Radhike Tava Raha Paricharikam, Paricharikaham, Paricharikaham, Aham, I want to be your Paricharika. I want to serve you in every possible way, Radharani. I want to serve you, fan you and bathe you and dress you and sing to you and cook with you and assist you and everywhere in every situation, every leela, at every time throughout the day. Then it says raha. So this is a particular type of paricharika. I want to serve you in varieties of ways in secret. I want to be a secret. I want to be a raha. Raha means, as you know, rahasya. It means rahasya, rahasya seva. I want to be one of those secret sakis like we have in somewhere in some country they call the secret service, the SS. I think maybe that was World War II or so. You know, someone that's like CBI and FBI and KGB and all these initials everywhere. CIA and CID. In India they had CID and America CIA and KGB. And in the old days in the war, Second World War, they had the SS. So I want to be your secret, your SM. Your secret maid, right? Maybe it's SMS, secret maid servant. S for secret, M for maid, and S for servant. So you say one mandri has to, duty, D-U-T-I, duty means messenger. And the gopi, there's a whole group of sakis, or that's one of the 17 sevas of all the sakis. It can also be the Ashtasakis, Lalita, Vishakha. They also do that service. But especially the Nityasakis, the mandris, they engage as duties. Duties means courier mail, courier mail women, because they're not male men. In America, they have male men, and maybe they're women too, but they're called male men. But at any rate, they carry messages, and they're called duti, D-U-T-I. Like you've heard of Vishnu Duta, or you've heard, that mean Duta means carry. And you've heard of Jaladuta. If you read Prabhupada's biography, we wouldn't be here unless one, if that messenger didn't cross the Atlantic Ocean and Cape Horn and wherever he went to finally get to America. Jala means water, and Duta means messenger, a messenger going across the water. So Prabhupada came to America and to the world to give the message of Varanga Prem Seva and the Prem Seva Radha Krishna Yugala and Vrindavan. And of course, no, you may have heard of, but you don't want to see another group called Yamadutas. The Yamadutas, hopefully no one will see, generally devotees don't, in dreams possibly. But they're called Yamadutas because they're the messengers of Yama, or death, and hell, and punishment. Or just they carry you to Yama for darshan. There's four gates, it's two or four pathways leading to Pitriloka, Yamapuri. One's for the devotees and one's for the non-devotees. So everyone kind of goes there and some people are sent to hell, and the devotees go there for darshan of the great devotee Yamadut, Yamaraj. And then Yamaraj says, what's the story with this one? Oh, he's a great devotee. He's a devotee, this, that. Okay, he takes birth in this devotee family. Because he doesn't go to hell. This is in Garuda Puran. You can read this in Garuda Puran. So it's just it's like you may pass through Delhi, but your destination is London. So you did go through the London airport, the Delhi airport, but didn't have much to do there. So the general trajectory of most jivas, if you're a premi, if you like, you see in first canto, chapter 6, first canto, chapter 6, around verse 28 or 29 or so, Narada Muni was doing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, then he attained perfection. Vishnu came at the moment of death, Prayujamane, and he brought from the spiritual world his Siddhadeya, and he gave him his Siddhadeya at the time of death. So then he went straight to Vishnuloka. I don't know if he went, doesn't appear that he followed that Garuda Puran system, because he was pure devotee. So for pure devotees, they enter Boma Vrindavan, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, or they may go directly to spiritual world. At any rate, they certainly don't even see Yamaraj. But the ordinary class of jivas, he's like the processor, the processor for everyone. So this is, there's some details in the Garuda Puran. Doesn't mean you go to hell. So you go to Delhi, doesn't mean you've gone to hell. Or you may you may think like that, because Yamaraj is a demigod and he worships Vishnu, so he'll just go there. He'll just take darshan and he'll ask Chitragupta and the Shravanis and Shravanas. Chitragupta has 40 secretaries, 20 female and 20 male. The Shravanas are the male ones, and the Shravanis are the females, recording everything we do on behalf of the chief minister there, Chandragupta, the chief secretary. Then they say, "Oh, who is this? This is Krishnadas. What did he do? Oh, he did Nam Sankirtana's whole